Good morning. Good morning. Am I coming through? Thank you. Good to see you. Welcome. It does look like it's either 10:30 or it's still holiday season because there's a lot of spare chairs still. We'll see in a few minutes whether some of those fill up. But really warm welcome. Good to see you. Good to see those of you that come every week. Good to see some that maybe we haven't seen for quite a few years in here, but really good to see everyone. I'm Cliff, I'm leading the service today. To lead into our time of sung worship, I'd like to invite you to all stand, and I will read just a few verses before Simon and the group lead us in our worship. Reading from Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name for ever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thank you. open up the gates.
To open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. You can stop the Lord God you.
It's your name that we are glorying in. You have the power and the glory. We love you. We tell of your faithfulness and we tell of the story of our lives that you have been faithful throughout.
Thank you.
Dear God, we thank you that you truly are a good God and want nothing but good for us. We thank you and praise you for that. Amen. So just a few quick notices. Next Sunday is our small group Sunday, sign up Sunday, ahead of the new term of small group activities. So really encourage you to come along, hear a bit in the service about those, but also an opportunity in the hall at the end of the service to talk to leaders about what groups they're putting on. If you're not able to do that, then the brochure of groups for the term ahead will be live from next Sunday, I believe. Maybe a few days before for the ultra keen. But yes, do sign up to groups, please. The new term of most of the groups will be starting the week beginning Monday the 15th of September. On the 11th of September, we're commencing a new activity here, a community cafe. Community coffee is what's written down. I'm assuming it's a cafe. The notice sheet has some details about it. The notice sheet does say that if you are interested in helping to run that, then please speak to us. Unfortunately, the line of who us is was missing from the notice. But principally, the person to speak to there is Adele, and she can be contacted at adele@bbchurch.org.uk. Just forward notice that Saturday, 13th of September, is ladies' breakfast. Sign up as normal via church suite. It does say or via Mike, but Mike's not here. So for this week, church suite is your option for that. 14th of September, Sunday, 2 weeks today, the first part of our service will be led by Rob and the youth. And that will include some feedback from their time away at Dane Hill. That's always a really encouraging time, so something to look forward to. The final notice, and unfortunately it's a very mundane thing, is that over the summer it seems that we've not always been as good as we could be about security of the building, and quite a few times people have arrived at church to find no one here but doors open. So if you do come when the church is quieter and you think you are possibly one of the last people here, please do check that we do lock up. Thank you. Going to move into a time of prayer in a minute. A few things that I would like us to cover in that prayer time. But one of them, and this always feels a little bit bad because I know there's still 1 or 2 days of holiday left, but we would like to pray this week for those going back to school and maybe those starting school for the very first time. It looks like there are very few of our younger people here today anyway. Maybe they're all out in the back. But is anyone starting school for the very first time? Oh, we do have one. Excellent, too. Very exciting. Excellent. And then there'll be other children who will be clearly changing year groups. Are there any who are changing schools? No, maybe again in the back hall. It can be a very significant time. Well, it is a very significant time, and it can be a very exciting but also very daunting time. And when I say that, I think that more for the parents than the kids. But so we will just pause to pray in a minute. Next week's service, we will be including praying for people who might be starting other things, and that's also tied in with the head of the new small groups and praying for the leaders of those. But let's just pause now for the term of school starting. Dear Lord, we thank you for how much you clearly love children. And we do pray for all the children connected with our church family here, that as they head to school, maybe for the first time, maybe head back to school, however they're feeling about that, we thank you that we know you are with them. And we do also pray for the teachers, the many teachers among us, who will be going back and starting with a new set of children. Do really pray for great insight and wisdom for how best to connect with each child in their care and to really bring the best out of them. But yes, Lord, we thank you for our children. Amen. Also just want to pause to pray for some of the issues that we read, whether you still get a newspaper or on your phone or however you get your news. The world does not seem to be getting a nicer, kinder, gentler place. There are many instances, and whether that's even just on the local Facebook groups or right up through to the international picture. There's many things there that can cause concern. So I'd just like us to pause now and to spend a minute just quietly praying for whatever God puts on your heart for what is of concern to us, but what we can hand to God and ask him to take care of. Dear Lord, we do thank you that you love every single person on this planet. People that are on opposing sides of arguments, conflicts and wars. We do thank you that despite our limited understanding and us not seeing the big picture that you do, we thank you that we can trust that you are still in control and that ultimately you will bring good out of all of these situations. Ultimately, people will see you and acknowledge you as God. And we do pray that wherever we can have a role to play, that we can bring peace, bring love, bring healing through you, through your Spirit working through us to touch the lives of those around us that we love, but that you love even more. Amen. Then finally, I do just want to pause for a couple of minutes for us to pray, and this might sound a bit selfish, but pray for ourselves, each of you, to individually have a couple of minutes just connecting with God and sharing either the things that you are grateful for and thankful for, or the things that are causing you concern. I think sometimes our services can be full of so much good things and good activity that maybe we can go away without having really connected with God about that one small nagging issue, that one really big issue that's causing us concern. So again, we'll just pause for a couple of minutes here for quiet reflection, and Simon will just give a little bit of background music. Thank you. Dear Lord, some of us will have shared positive things, things that we are thankful for, things that we're looking forward to. Others of us may have shared concerns and things that are causing us a lack of peace. Lord, I do thank you that you can hear us all, you have heard us all, and that in your good, pleasing and perfect time, you will answer our prayers, and we thank you for that. Amen. Our next song is one that includes the words, "I'll fight on my knees." And fighting often sounds a very active, physically active thing. And yet this is very much about bringing things to God in prayer. It talks about every fear I'll lay at your feet. If you've not done that in those couple of minutes, and I know a couple of minutes is never enough time, but later today, do carry on that thought and carry on those prayers, speaking to our Father, our Saviour, about what's going on in your life. He wants to hear, he wants to help. After this song, Sunday Club will be heading out to their activities. As they do, please do pray for the children, pray for the leaders, and then we'll continue our worship. Thank you.
When all I see is the battle, you see the victory. And all I see is the mountain. You see the mountain. And as I walk in the shadow, all the surrounds me. There's nothing to fear.
With my hands lifted high, oh God.
like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your child. We need your power. Your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives. For you're our joy and pride. You see the captive hearts released. The hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down.
Today's readings from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit on your right and the other sit on your left in glory. You don't know what it is you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Great, thank you very much, Catherine. I find that sometimes the inspiration for a one-off service sermon such as this comes quickly. Other times there's a bit more wrestling as to what to look at, what to focus on. And this was definitely one of the latter. I felt that God might be saying something around going back to basics, dare I say it, back to school. But I still couldn't really land on what of the basic areas, the building blocks of faith we should look at. Prayer, we've covered quite well. There's worship, there's obedience, there's the Bible itself, there's gifts of the Spirit. But what ended up seeming the right thing to look at was the wonderfully exciting area of service. In recent times, the last few years, I've gone on a bit of a journey in my own faith in considering what is important in living out my faith. And certainly each of those topics I've just mentioned are clearly very important: prayer, worship, gifts. But I've come to realise more and more the importance of service. In biblical terms, service is an expression of love, obedience, and humility directed both towards God and to others. It's not about status or recognition, but it is about faithfulness, sacrifice, and reflecting God's own heart. There's some areas of the Christian faith where only a few people are called to be overseas missionaries, to be full-time paid evangelists or ministers. But there are other areas that all Christians are called to. We are all called to love, and we are all called to one of the areas of how we work out that love, which is to serve. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, "Serve one another humbly in love." And as we'll see over the next few minutes, there are many other verses and passages instructing us to serve. So it seems to me that service is not something that is optional for the believer. It is both an instruction and part of our calling that we are called to serve. There are, as I say, many verses in both the Old and New Testaments urging us to serve God. In Deuteronomy, God urged his people to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And we know Joshua famously said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in the New Testament, we've got verses, Paul in writing to the Colossians, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving." So it's clear that we should serve God, and very often that is achieved by serving others. Jesus, though teacher, Lord, Saviour, he still took the role of a servant. And we see that in that classic scene of him washing the disciples' feet before the Lord's Supper. And after washing their feet, both a practical, functional task, but also a great symbol for us of servanthood, he said, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet." Sadly, I think, and certainly my own previous thinking around the area of service, service can often be seen as a bit of drudgery, really. Oh, do I really have to lower myself to do that menial task? Well, yes, I think sometimes, yes, we do need to. do what would be termed those menial tasks. That is part of serving, but that isn't all of serving. Serving doesn't just cover those lowly things. It covers all of our working out of our faith. It covers all areas of ministry and covers the purpose and the use of spiritual gifts as well. In Romans 12, we read, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." It's interesting within that there is a specific gift of serving. But actually, as we see in 1 Peter, the use of all of the gifts is service. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Jesus modeled living as a servant, and we as Christians are called to imitate him by putting the needs of others ahead of our own, especially the needs of the poor, the weak, and the marginalized. We read in Philippians chapter 2 some very well-known verses. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." And Jesus himself said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." Greatness in the kingdom of God is not measured by wealth or power, skills, abilities, achievements, popularity, but seemingly by the willingness to humbly serve others. We don't often see the humble service and greatness as one and the same thing. But it seems to me that in God's economy, that's very much what they are. So it leads to a simple, possibly a sobering question each of us maybe should ask ourselves. Am I modeling my life on Jesus in the way in which I treat and serve others? The Bible is full of examples of service, people serving God and others, with that humility, with sacrifice, with love. One example should be fairly familiar from our teaching last month and Holiday Bible Club, with Joseph in Genesis. Despite being enslaved and then unjustly imprisoned, he served diligently in whichever situation he found himself. He demonstrated faithful service even in hardship. In Luke 10, we have the Good Samaritan, a parable rather than a factual event maybe, but Jesus is teaching about serving others generously, even those who we normally would not associate with. And possibly that where service in that situation may well have been more likely to attract criticism than praise. But serving those that we don't normally associate with and not for praise. In Acts 9, we have a lady called Tabitha or Dorcas, who was known for her good works and charity, especially in serving the widows. We read that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Quiet, everyday, humble service. Acts of kindness that have eternal value. And in Acts and a number of his letters, we see Paul travelling extensively, enduring hardships and pouring out his life to serve the church. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15 say, I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. Service does, I'm afraid, often involve sacrifice, but it does produce spiritual fruit. From some of those examples, I guess Joseph and Paul, they became leaders through their service. One of the greatest monarchs that our country's ever had, the late Queen, famously devoted her life to a life of service rather than sitting in all of her palaces and just being waited on and reaping the benefits that she could have done. I loved the title of the booklet that was produced to celebrate her 90th birthday. It was The Servant Queen and the King She Serves. I think that was a very inspired book title. It seems to me that in many instances, as we look around the world, leaders choose to abuse their positions of leadership, to lord it over those they are leading. But in God's kingdom, leaders are actually servants. They serve those who they are leading. So are there opportunities to serve? Well, yes, you don't have to look far for opportunities to serve. Within the church, I don't think our church is particularly different to any others, but there are scores of rotas that you could sign up to. Lots of opportunities where within the church family, people can serve. Can serve in the community, random acts of kindness, joining certain community groups. Can also serve in the family. That might be, for some, the biggest challenge. Serving through love, humility, and sacrifice in the place where you are tired and wanting just to be left alone. In our family, I'm a notoriously slow reader. A short paperback can take me months, many months. Not because I'm interested or can't cope with the long words, some of the long words anyway, but books to me act like a rapid sleeping pill. Half a page at a time is by sort of normal standard. But one book I've been reading recently and been working through for a long time is this book here, and it's called Serving Without Sinking. And the strapline is How to Serve Christ and Keep Your Joy. The flip side of that title seems to suggest that in serving Christ, you're likely to lose your joy. Doesn't seem quite right, but it did remind me of a spoof advert I saw recently that said, replacing your fry up with a high fiber, low sugar, fruit and bran based start to the day will see a 95% reduction in joy, which I quite liked. The reason I'm persevering with this book is the recommendation at the top of the front cover. Utterly liberating and joy-giving. That sounds good. That sounds something I want. The premise of the book is that too often, many Christians who serve end up feeling burdened, overworked, possibly underappreciated, worn out, sinking. I'm only halfway through the book, despite all the months that it's been going, and despite its plain English, I have found it quite a tough read. What I've read so far are the things that go wrong when service is maybe not being done in the right way or with the right motives. Some of it, sadly, has been a bit too close to home for me. A very brief summary of the things that the book says that can go wrong is that we can have a wrong view of God. God requires my service for me to be good enough for him or to get something from him. Or God needs me to pay him back for all the goodness that he has given to me. Or we have a wrong view of people or the way in which we look at people. I'm serving to impress someone or to try and belong. Or we have a wrong view of ourselves. I'm so important, Jesus or the church needs me. Or even, very sadly at times, I don't even need God, I can serve in my own strength. As I say, I'm only halfway through the book, but I think the second half will be much more uplifting, as it promises to teach about the right motives around serving. Just going to read a short section from the midpoint in the book. So this is obviously from the author. I don't like looking in the mirror very much. I particularly don't like looking close up in the mirror. And in writing the last two chapters, I didn't really like looking at my own heart and all those flawed reasons I serve. I'm guessing you didn't much enjoy it either. So we're going to stop. Stop looking at ourselves and turn somewhere a whole lot better. The counterintuitive truth I've come to realise, the truth that prompted me to write this book, is that the only way to get our service of Jesus right is to realise that ultimately, he serves us. The way to serve without sinking is to get to grips with the strange reality that Christians are not first and foremost servants, they are served. It is a truth that once you're looking for it, runs through the Bible. We're going to focus on it, though, in just one verse. It's a familiar verse to many Christians, a famous verse, a verse I had heard hundreds of times before the Spirit pointed out the dynamite in it. Here it is. Jesus said to his followers, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now you may be thinking, why on earth did I spend the majority of this sermon teaching about why and how we should serve if I'm now introducing this idea that actually, first and foremost, we're not servants, but we are to be served? I still entirely believe the Bible verses we looked at, the instructions and encouragements to serve, the examples of service, but I'm also certain that God sees our hearts, probably even more than our actions. First and foremost, he desires a relationship, and that with a right heart that a close walk with Jesus brings, service can indeed be a joy rather than a chore. So how do we get to that right heart and those right motives? Well, as you know, I've not yet finished the book, so I can't tell you in full what this author, John Hindley, has said. But a quick skim through shows that it highlights that it's all based on our standing with God and three particular areas. We are friends of Christ. Jesus said in John 15 that he no longer calls us servants, or no longer called his disciples servants, but friends, and that he lays down his life for his friends. We're also told in the Bible that we are the bride of Christ the King. So even more than friends, there's a closer intimacy there. We are married into God's family. So we're friends, we're bride, but we are also sons and daughters of the Father, chosen, adopted, loved, privileged, reborn into the family, and included in the family business. God massively, massively loves you. And each of us need to be reminded of that. And with a full understanding and acceptance of that, of Jesus being our friend, of us being part of his bride, and us being sons and daughters, service as part of our outpouring of love and obedience becomes a natural response and a joy, not a chore and a burden. So it turns out that this sermon that I wrestled with and started then changed, and it wasn't primarily about serving, it's primarily about your relationship with Jesus and Father God and our standing with him. And the only reason that we can stand and walk with him is because of the work and the character and the life of Jesus, who, and I am now aware that I am repeating, but who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So yes, as church, we would like you to go away and consider your service to God, maybe in the church, maybe in community, certainly in your family, but not through some obligated sense that you must do it, that it's a duty, but in a joyful response to God's love for you, a desire to follow Jesus' example and ultimately to bring glory to God the Father. So maybe spend some time this week thanking God for how you stand, how he sees you, how much he loves you. Asking him to give you the heart of a servant and possibly to identify just one opportunity this week where maybe you can intentionally go and serve. Dear Lord, thank you that you love us so dearly. Give us hearts like yours, willing to stoop low to lift others high. Help us to serve not for applause, but out of love and obedience to you. Make us your hands and feet in this world, and help us, like Jesus, bring glory to you. Amen. Please do stand to respond and join us in our final song of worship.
Yes, he died.
You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. As ever, please do join us for tea and coffee in the back hall. Or if you wish to talk to someone and have some prayer, there will be a couple of people in the front of church here. So do take the most of that opportunity. Enjoy the rest of your days.